Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm, back with the doors wide open here at the cafe. We got 60 minutes locked and loaded here in the building. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. I'm trying. They're really giving me these hiccups today. Like, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them, Sports City. I did a little running in the middle of America. You know what I'm saying? I went on a little mini vacation, just got back, and, you know, some unfortunate things happened. But we back in the building, man. The calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. And I'm going to say this. You know what I'm saying? Job well done to the teams that are in the NBA Finals right now. I don't even want to just try to totally make it a personal situation for myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been missing in action. People up here sending me tweets, sending me messages, sending me texts. Ty, where you at? We don't even see you in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I can't even leave. Like I can't even leave. Like, I know. But we're going to cook. We're going to do what we need to do. We got the next 60 minutes. Give a little preview of what we're ready to see for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, depending on how long this series may go between the Cleveland Cavaliers being hosted by the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors. And this is the rematch. Both of these teams are healthy now. Last year they were missing pieces on the Cleveland side of the ball. So now we see how this was supposed to go as of last year. But before we jump into all of this, I do have my big brother, my co-host for the evening, R. Keezy, a.k.a. Mr. King. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, Thomas, I'm feeling good, man. Excited to be back here inside Sports City doing another crossover cafe MasterChef edition with you, my brother, the one and only, T.P. Timeless. Come on, man. Let's do what we do.
Okay, so we have a couple coach signings. We were discussing this in the green room. Also wanted to see how we wanted to look into the game. So I want to save a lot of what's going to go down in the next couple of minutes in this game for the end of the show and see how we feel about matchups, so on and so forth, you know, which coach, you know, has the green light on this situation. Is it Tyronn Lue? Is it Steve Kerr, who's been through several different runs of getting to a championship run? I want to see how we feel about that, but I'm saving that. You know what, Sports City, it wouldn't be me. Like, I feel like I'm dodging the situation. So I'm going to get to it. Last time I was on the air, it was a 2-1 situation in the Western Conference Final. The Thunder were up 2-1, and this was during the cookout. It was during the cookout last week. They were up 2-1. They ended up winning that game, going up 3-1. And Golden State put their guard up and won each game to close out that series. Now, outside of the melee and the Thunder so-called choking and, you know, Russell and KD potentially leaving, depending on how this free agency market goes or warms up. I want to hear how you feel about at least wherever you want to go. If you want to go to game six, game seven, if you want to go to the last three games, if you want to kind of get past that, and if this is something that these guys have already been in tune to getting into, because I have some things that I want to touch on in the midst of. You know what, before I even throw that to you, I'm going to set this dish up for you. I'm going to set it up for you, right? Sports City, and I'm getting personal. Forget all the analytical stuff. I'm getting personal to me. Y'all getting me here. And this is my big brother, so I know he could vibe with me, and he could calm me down if he needs to. He could stop me. He could hit the pause button on me. He know what to do. He could talk to me. We do this.
Tell him how you feel, Thomas. Tell him how you feel.
Right. So I'm going to get personal. So he know if I'm getting out, if I'm getting reckless, I'm about to crash, he'll stop the car. Okay, so you mean to tell me, right, Sports City, people out there listening, wherever you are in the world, right? Game six, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook shoot the ball a tremendous amount of times. One shot the ball 31 times. The other one shot the ball 27 times, and they lost, right? In a dire need situation game at home, right? They go on the road in a game seven, and knowing they had to, like, kind of go by the, you know, the system of what Billy Donovan put together, but to me, I look at both of these guys as natural-born killers on a basketball court. Not saying literal killers, but you guys know what I mean. Animals by nature. If they could go out there and put up 31 to 27 shots apiece, they come into a game where their backs are against the wall in a game seven. Kevin Durant shot the ball a total of 19 times, and Russell Westbrook shot the ball a total of 21 times in a losing effort. Now, here goes the situation with Kevin Durant that I look at. Kevin Durant was 4 of 6 in the first half, and a lot of the remaining 13 shots that he took for the remainder of the game. So that means to tell me in the next two quarters, he only took 13 shots. So he shot the ball 6 times each quarter. Think about that, people. 6 times in each quarter. Just average. And Russell Westbrook had an off night. He was 7-for-21. Just two nights before, these guys totaled a total of 58 shots combined. You mean to tell me in a total, in a game, they're going to total for 40 in a game where if they lose and go home? I question that. I question that severely. In which, and here goes another one, you mean to tell me that you just gave Enes Kanter $70 million over the next 4 seasons, right? Right? Just hear me out, people. He came in the game and went 4-for-5. He was hot. They didn't have an answer for him on the Warriors' side of the ball defensively. And he played 9 minutes, didn't play another minute in the game. I'm stunned. So then the only other guy that got play off of the bench was Deion Waiters.
What happened to Stephen Adams? What happened to Stephen Adams? Talk about Adams.
I can throw in the Stephen Adams situation. Stephen Adams in that second half, to me, in the remainder of that game seven, he was the guy that they were picking on. I think that they were trying their best to get him in a switch situation, and he was in front of the guard, and they clearly would rock him. Like they would rock him with that crossover and set him up where he had to go one way or another. They have an open shot. No matter how big his physical frame may be on the floor, they were picking on him and his slow feet being out there on the perimeter. So that's why I said I'm stunned with the Enes Kanter situation, because they had Stephen Adams out there on the floor more than Kanter, and Kanter was the one scoring the ball at a higher clip and had a better plus-minus on the floor at the given time. Now, these are just situations that I'm drawing up from the Thunder situation. I'm not even trying to badmouth anything that Golden State did. Golden State did what they needed to do. They needed to win each game, knowing that they have championship caliber. They won 73 games, knowing that they had everything on the line. And like I said, I was trying my best not to. I didn't talk any junk because I knew that this could happen. I knew that this could happen, but I was up in myself because I'm like 3-1 lead, and they're playing the best basketball. How do they go from beating this Warrior team by 25 points in 2 straight games and then just can't even figure out how to play with them anymore at all? So he said the Stephen Adams situation. Stephen Adams is getting picked on early. Even though the Thunder won the first quarter, they won the second quarter, they won the fourth quarter. The third quarter is what decided the game and ended up sending Golden State to the finals, where they lost the third quarter by a total of 17 points. Do you mean to tell me that somewhere in this storm that you don't make a change or somebody come off of that bench? You only had Deion Waiters and Deion Waiters. I'm just saying, it's only Deion Waiters. Because Cantor only played 9 minutes. Total. Nobody else played. No Randy Foy, no nobody. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, if I wasn't on air, I would say something different. You know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to, you know, try to keep this PG rated. You know what I'm saying? Even though I know I feel like I want to go R and start spilling. But I question a lot of what Donovan was going out there trying to do. They threw a guy like Kyle Singler $25 million, and he didn't play all series. He didn't play all series. I don't get this. And I want him to play in that series. Not like I want him to play in that series because I feel like he's a mismatch against anybody. But the Thunder organization, I'm trying to understand what y'all was doing all in all in the last three games. You guys had to figure out. I don't feel like Golden State did anything different than they did in the first four games, in which you guys had a 3-1 edge. They didn't do anything different. I don't think they did anything different. Royce, I'll let you get to it. We do have a caller in queue that I do want to get in here. Your thoughts on at least wherever you'd like to start or whatever I threw out there that you'd like to add on to or take away from.
Well, I'll just add, you know, a little bit. You know, I want to go back and give an account for my outlook on the season. We take it back. Obviously, there's a catalog of shows where it can be checked and verified. I was calling Golden State, for the most part, the entire regular season. They would be in the finals against the Cavaliers. So this matchup is really not a surprise. But I do have to acknowledge the stretch where the Oklahoma City Thunder swayed me with their play. And my reasons for that is, one, I said that, you recall, again, check the catalog, we've been doing this for a few years, when OKC made the finals, was that 2011, 2012, I said this was a very young team. They beat the learning curve. They were in the finals ahead of schedule. And, you know, at that time, you know, Golden State was still, you know, getting their act together. And that's really what you have with the Cavaliers right now. That group, that core, ahead of schedule in terms of making a finals appearance, partly due to the fact that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook each suffered injuries in separate seasons that caused them both to miss a significant amount of time. And basically opened up a lane for another team to battle in that Western Conference Finals for the right to represent the West. So it is what it is. So, you know, fast forward back to where we are right now, the way Oklahoma City was playing coming out of that San Antonio Spurs matchup, given the fact that OKC lost those three regular season games, they had leads in those games, they pretty much did what they needed to do, I guess you could say, to give the game away two out of those three contests in the regular season. From what I was seeing and as much basketball as I had seen and looking at law of averages, you know, it was hard to fathom that the Golden State Warriors were, in fact, going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder seven times in a season. This Thunder team is very deep. They're very talented. They actually boast two potential league MVPs on the same roster. They were playing well, and it looked like they had put behind them just giving up the game. you know, having a team figured out, beating a team for a half, playing the right way to beat that team, to have a lead, and then just not playing that way anymore, looking like a completely different team. So I originally called the series OKC in six. That was thinking that OKC would get a split in Oakland. I didn't necessarily think they were going to get the first game, but a split nonetheless. Go home, lock down your two games, come back to the Oracle, obviously drop game five, go back to Oklahoma City, shut it down in game six. Now, the way it all played out in reality, again, I didn't really foresee it so much the way it happened in terms of the play of the game, the final scores and all that. But, again, you get to game six, and I'm thinking, no harm, no foul. It doesn't matter what happened in Oracle in game five. This team is good enough to win a game out of the remaining three, but they had to have game six. If not, it was going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get game seven. Improbable, rather. Not impossible, but improbable. And unfortunately, that's what happened. But I won't really lay a lot of blame at the feet of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Really, game seven was irrelevant once they lost game six. It was over as far as I was concerned. Shout out and kudos really go to the one they call Klay Thompson. I thought he was the most consistent Warrior. I thought he was the Warrior who really gave Oklahoma City the most problems when it came to being able to score the ball when he wanted to. When the opportunity presented itself, he was knocking down shots. He made some big-time shots. He had some big moments there, obviously, in game six. He did not want to lose. And he played like a guy on a mission who did not want to take a L and not be able to represent in the finals. And I thought it was his play in game six that truly carried over to game seven and became a concern for the defenders on the Oklahoma City side of the ball that freed up Steph Curry to be able to, you know, get loose again. Because if you look at, you know, in the game totals for the most part with Steph Curry throughout the series, I mean, he really was not the same Steph Curry of the regular season. He wasn't averaging 30 points and five made threes a game. He was not that guy. He was rather pedestrian and human in the sense that, you know, 25 or 26 points, I mean, you did a good job trying to contain Steph Curry and corral him. But, again, once Klay really got going and he was cooking, he becomes the guy that now gets the attention, and you may, you know, everybody may look his way. You know, if you got multiple heads turning and looking for Klay, you're going to lose sight of Steph Curry. And if you lose sight of Steph Curry, then it's night night. It's over.
Let me get here, and then I'm gonna get the caller in here also. This is the one part in time which baffles me, which I understand the law of gravity, and not just talking about the gravitational pull of a body or whatever. I'm talking about gravity of, you know, time and place. You mean to tell me in game four, Russell Westbrook goes for 36 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists against what? Klay and Steph, right? Because they try to save Steph as best as possible. And then game five comes around. Russell goes to a 19-point effort. And then after the question was, you know, brought up, do you, you know, is his defense being Steph Curry's defense underrated, in which Russell went 8 for 25. So now his tenacity toward going to the rim and challenging a guy like Steph or Klay, because I'm going to be brutally honest, I can't care less if it was Klay or Steph. Neither one of them could guard him. I can care less on how that situation looked in game five where he got a couple steals and Russ had an off night. Russ had an off night because of Russ having an off night. That was not because Steph was in his mouth, hand in his face. No. No, please do not oversell that situation. And one thing, I want people to pay attention to this. How many dunks did Russell Westbrook have in this series? Because you know that team gets amped when they see Russell do something like that. He didn't test Bogut at the rim at all. Believe me, I know Bogut can't jump with him at all. I questioned a lot of stuff and what was happening. Even Durant wasn't even finishing at the rim dunking. But that's a whole other issue. Like, I'll get to KD in a minute. I do want to get the caller in queue that we do have here. Calling in to the cafe, we have Messiah in the building. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, Messiah, I want to give the Sports City boys a shout-out. I know it's been a while, 40 minutes before game time, and I'm listening. It sounds like a eulogy for the Thunder. Let me get my Ric Flair on. You almost got the job done. But let me tell you what happened here. The heart of a champion. The Thunder for all the – you know what this team remind me of? Remind me of them Sixers teams with Julius Erving before they got Moses Malone. Is that what it's going to take? There's a certain DNA that's missing with them guys where they couldn't put the champ away. And you saw it beaten out of who? Not Curry. Klay Thompson. And you can't blame the Thunder really because they pushed these guys to the brink and they hit them with a combination they wasn't expecting. 11 three-pointers in that game six when you had them down double digits. And then you get to game seven and you in Oakland and you have them down 13 again. But it's like watching a great team until you get them out of the building, they never down. So I think we should be more celebrating that we got the matchup we need to see, which is a healthy LeBron going against Golden State. The Thunder, do you really want to see Durant get outsmarted by LeBron? I don't think. I mean, they keep saying, oh, this team's young. Durant's been in the league 9 years. Westbrook's been in the league 8 years. They still haven't figured out how to close games. And then I don't think the defense is more up than the Cavs. So that's another thing. The Warriors are going to get more open shots. It's just this time they got a team that can try to match. And I say try because if you rely on J.R. Smith to be consistent, you're asking for it. So they put their own championship ring.
But J.R.'s been performing this. J.R.'s been performing this postseason run. So
yeah, but they haven't had defensive pressure. They haven't had pressure. So what happens when the pressure? Well, LeBron still. We all know LeBron is still going to get them the open looks. But everyone going to get back on D when they miss it. That's what we're going to see.
Okay,
Mr. Drama John, Stopping Drums, Mr. Love. Let's see how he's going to react when
I'm
those pick and rolls. You know, Mr. Drama John's
did. Do you really see Golden State as a supreme defensive team? I want to honestly ask you that question.
No, when it comes to against South, they will dig deep. We've seen them. We've seen them get phenomenal. Thing is, who else is going to dig deep? Because they can't afford for Draymond Green to dig deep and get that hard foul that they call a flagrant foul, and he's out of here. So it's going to have to be somebody else. Draymond Green cannot do the dirty work now. He's one flagrant foul, and he's out of here for a game. So someone else, and I'm sure they're discussing it, someone else has to do the dirty work, the late lumber, when Kyrie Irving is dancing on the perimeter and flying in there. It can't be Draymond Green coming over, putting them on the floor. Or they're going to throw a quick tech. The league wants LeBron to get – this is set up for LeBron. He's well-rested. They haven't been pushed. It reminds me of the 89 Detroit Pistons when they played. People forget how the Lakers was rolling and rolling until Magic and Byron Scott went down with injuries. People forget how the Lakers – was going for a three-peat until Magic and Byron Scott went down. LeBron, it's set up. Now, and, you know, well-deserved. I mean, they did fire their coach at the beginning of the year. Shannon Frye seems to be the pickup. But now, let's play. We're not going to cry over what the Thunder didn't get done because in their hearts, they are who they are. They are one-on-one player in the crunch. That's what it is. Your best 6-for-10 player dribbles from the three-point line to make it happen. And kicking out to a defensive player that don't want to shoot.
That's what I was going to hit on. That's why Royce is laughing. Because, you know, I've been talking, Royce, have I not been talking about that since October?
No doubt.
Yeah, I just imagine that LeBron didn't have J.R. and Shannon Frye. He's kicking it to who? Shumpert, Devin Dole. It'll be like last year all over again. So coach, GM of the year, LeBron, made the moves that was necessary in Cleveland.
Whoa, hold on. I'm agreeing with you. If they had a legit two guard, Golden State would be out of here. Listen, you know how many times the thing would come down, especially in the fourth quarter, when you're talking about closing, they would have somebody cheating in the paint while Robinson stayed in the corner. Like, dude was scared to shoot, and you are an NBA player. You are a professional basketball player. Robinson sit here, and this is the crazy part, because I'm friends with Andre Robinson's uncle. And I feel bad that I say this. I said it on the air one time, and then Robinson had that big 17-point night. I said, I apologize, Brian. I apologize. Brian's like, why? I said, because your nephew came off. And it's like, I apologize for the wrong talk, because he went right back into his damn shell. He went right
but
back
into his
shell.
But you have to understand, he knows his role. He's just not there yet. He's just not there yet. For all of them, see, this falls on the Thunder. And this is where it comes salary cap. And this is going to play into Durant's decision. You did, Dion Wade, you went and got slashes, but you didn't get pure shooters. It's like we're going to wait till Durant Westbrook get healthy, and they never got the other pieces that fit their game. Coach GM LeBron has been making moves since last finals.
Okay. Now, this is what
so
I'm trying to –
listen, I'm going to jump right here because it seemed like we're trying to turn that page, but we keep flipping back to the other one. All I was simply saying was, you know, look, what happened with OKC happened is not really a surprise. I expected Golden State to win the series, you know, for the most part, the entire regular season. I didn't even forecast, I couldn't even see OKC necessarily in the Western Conference Finals. And that had everything to do with the health of the star players, and they had a new head coach in Billy Donovan. So, when it seemed like they were coming together and gelling at the right time with the postseason being the postseason, you never know. If your team hits the stride at the right time, you ride it and it can steamroll into something special. And it appeared to be going that way. The wheels, you know, the go-kart picked up too much speed and the wheels came off. You know what I'm saying? So
I mean, I'll throw an NBA history lesson out here. This the team will be – their legacy will be, here's the drum roll, Charles Barkley and the Phoenix Suns. Everyone thought after that first finals when they lost to the Bulls, oh, don't worry, they'll be back. And how many years in a row did they blow a 3-1 lead against the Rockets? And they never got back. Never got back to the finals.
You know,
and if these guys do not get back to another final, this will be the top 5 talented teams not to produce a title. And you know why? I call it the ghost of the Supersonics. So let's clap it up for the Seattle Supersonics fans for keeping hope alive. Because Oklahoma City don't deserve a title. That's right. I said it. Damn, though. They should get a title. Get out of here. You stole that team from Seattle. So I'm old school. I'm keeping it. No, I'm doing this for Kemp and Gary Payton. No title. No title for Oklahoma City. You know, Durant grew up here. He's part of the community. What are you talking about? They stole that team from Seattle.
Whoa, wait, hold on. I'm the Sonic Thunder fan here. Slow down. I'm the one that feels this, okay? You don't feel this crap. I do, okay? Now, I'm the one actually arguing with people from Seattle, like, that's what you get, Ty. The Thunder, every time the Thunder get to this point, I just hope that they fall apart. It's like, dog.
Yes.
I understand people's heart, but I wasn't going to stop liking the team because they left Seattle. I'm going to follow the organization.
That's the way it was done. It was the way it was done. Forget that.
No. At this time in 2007, 2006, when I was going down, I wasn't big into the front office like that. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't a front office type of guy. I was on organization. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't see myself cheering for a Laker team, especially at that time with Shaq and Kobe. I couldn't see myself cheering for Boston. My older cousin is a diehard Boston Celtics fan. If he sees me put on green and white, he goes nuts. And I can't stand the Celtics anyway. I still can't. I live in the Knicks atmosphere. Like it's all orange and blue around me. I could never do that.
That orange is faded, son. Don't worry about it.
I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you the reality I'm faced with. So I'm going with my team. You know, Kevin Durant. I'm not even going to lie. Everybody was high on Kevin Durant his rookie season. High on him. I was like, he has a lot to show me. He was averaging 19.8. He was shooting air ball through the 3-point line. He did not want to go through
the rim. But the atmosphere, though, they didn't really see when you go watch. I don't want to plug the movie, but was it Requiem for the Sonics? That whole year when Durant was a rookie, they already was stuff in the background. There was no promotion for him. They just basically just played out their year and forced their way out. And when you watch that, you can see why, well, damn, that first year they kind of just threw him out there. their team was stripped, and they basically conned their way, thanks to David Stern, trying to bully Seattle into a stadium. And basically, after the Katrina situation, when New Orleans had to play in Oklahoma City, they saw an opportunity and seized the opportunity. And it was, and the owner sold the team, thinking that team was going to stay in Seattle. And they basically just, so sorry, I'm old school. Do it for Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, Nate McMillan. Okay, hell, Dale Ellis and Tom Chambers. We doing it for them. No title in OKC. I want Westbrook and Durant to leave there and let them build from scratch. Let's see what Oklahoma fans are really made of, since they such a, you know, oh, it's a great atmosphere in Oklahoma City. Yeah, you got two top 10 guys. Let's see you start from scratch. Then you welcome to my world as a New York Knicks. Then let's see if you really die hard. Go 30 years without a top pick like a true, like a New Yorker. So I start going off on my New York Knicks rant, okay? Go watch Stephon Marbury go to China to while he's learning how to win over there. Welcome to my world, Oklahoma City.
Hold on. I was there. They didn't build that team? That team hasn't built from scratch?
$35 million for Jerome James, Eddie Curry, traded away pick.
I know. Don't get me started. Don't get me started on Jerome James. Please don't do that.
Trevor Ariza and Anthony Hardaway expiring contract for Steve Francis. Need I go on? Mike Sweeney. Come on, goddamn. Ronald, please, man. It makes me sick watching these games, how they keep pumping these little cities. Oklahoma City, the atmosphere. They got two top 10 guys. What are you talking about?
Hold on.
Let's see if they sell out when it's just Obaka there on a max contract and see what happens.
They drafted everyone. They don't pick the players.
Cantor making $14 million. Are you kidding me? Coming off the bench. My friend had to look down. He didn't believe me. I said, you realize Cantor's making more than Westbrook. He didn't believe me. I'm like, come on, man. Oklahoma City. I'm sorry. It's not a Westbrook thing or Durant thing. It's a city thing, man. I'm sorry, man. Come on. They could not get this done. This Seattle, come on. And when we grew up watching more in Seattle, we always thought that arena was cool with the needle and that whole atmosphere with them packed, with Kemp and them. They always had a 6-plus team. You know, so I don't like when owners, that's just me, though. Like, I live in New York. I still have not been to the new stadium in the Bronx or in Queens because I don't support taxes, me and Sustain. That's just me, though. But this is ridiculous. They've been pummeling with Sandy. Oh, Durant can't leave. I hope he does. But I don't think he got the heart to leave Westbrook. I think Westbrook will leave him first. But that's just me. We could talk about that all summer.
Okay. Like I said, this team was built from the ground up. Like, before Durant got there, we had – I want you to listen to the lineup. Vitaly Podopinko, do you remember him at all? Do anybody remember
him? I can tell you that whole lot. Darren Collison and – Luke Retner and all this, you know, but that was just stripping at the team to make it undesirable so they can make it easy to get out of Seattle. They let Rashawn Lewis go, Ray Allen.
Not Darren Collison. Darren Collison just got caught up in the domestic violence. That's the guard.
Not the guard. I'll throw Nick Collison, the white boy.
There you go, exactly. Let me tell you about my team. I'm going to tell you about my team. Look, you don't have to tell me. We have Brent Barry. You know what I'm saying? We have Rashawn Lewis. You know what I'm saying? Gary Payton was gone. Gary was already in L.A. and in Miami.
Yeah, it was Ray Allen.
Ray was leaving as soon as Kevin Durant came when we got Jeff Green. You feel me?
That was a draft day trade on that kind of shocked everybody. Ray Allen, you know, for Jeff Green straight up.
Right.
And then you turn around and you see how quickly – people forget how Boston quickly turned that situation around. And that also – when we talk about LeBron as the years go on, why he left Cleveland the first time, and I always tell people, go back and really watch them old playoff games with LeBron going against the Washington Wizards with three all-stars, and you see him, and we all pumped that they gave Boobie Gibson $35 million. I mean, let's really look back at what LeBron was working with, and also tell people when they want to compare him to Magic, and I always tell people, go back and look at the history. The Lakers won a championship in 82, and you know who they drafted in 82 with the number one pick thanks to the Cavs? James Worthy.
Yeah.
You know, he got 2 years after that, Byron Scott, a top 10 lottery pick. So they was able to build on top of all-stars and all-stars to where you basically playing in the celebrity all-star game every night. When you look to your left, you got a top 10 guy. You got a college guy. I said, the NBA, I call it the Jordan curse. They figure, let me get one all-star and get a whole bunch of defensive guys around him. And that's what the NBA was looking like for a long time. You got McGrady, in Orlando, but it was like a lot of incomplete teams. And that's what the Celtics kind of really turned out around. But as far, I'm not pulling for OKC. It's the city. It's not Durant. It's not Westbrook. It's the town. Sorry.
How you guys feel about tonight's contest?
Hey, I'm about to jump off it. Let's get it. It's like a boxing match. Let's just get them in the ring. Let's just – LeBron is rested. Don't be surprised if you see him check Curry a few times. And I don't want to hear about Curry's not being healthy. He has to – the champ is here, and let's just go. Let's just go. I think LeBron is going to try to push them defensively to play like the Thunder, jumping in them passing lanes and cutting off them angles. And that's what really – that's how they really got up 3-1, the Thunder, cutting off them passing lanes, making them passes extra difficult, and then turn them into baskets. And LeBron has more will for us than Durant. So if they get game one early, he's going to have to revert to the old LeBron, but use his pieces when it's crunch. And Mr. Irvin has to show, and Mr. Dropping dimes.
Kevin, where you get all them dimes from?
I guess if Messiah done took over and made the cafe his show. Your thoughts on the matchups in this game tonight between Cleveland and Golden State, 1 through 5?
It all depends on Curry's health. Me personally, if he 4 days benefited him most than the worst, so I don't want to hear about the rust for LeBron. I think LeBron has not rest. I think he's been watching tape. He wants to come out and make a statement. Don't be surprised if you see LeBron being aggressive in this first half to set the tone, to take the crowd out of it. But once again, we've seen Golden State be down double digits early and come roaring back. So how do the Cavs stop that run? That's going to be the key. When the Warriors get down double digits and make that push, when you see Klay Thompson going off, and then when you start, that's what's going to be key. Because the Cavs haven't really had to cover a lot of shooters this whole playoff run. The Raptors. I mean, come on, Mike Lowry. Mike Lowry was putting up 30, but now you got guys who you can't leave open. So now we get to see. We haven't had to see watch the Cavs scramble on defense. They're going to have to scramble now. And that's the 1-5 home matchup. We're really going to see, are they going to show up and play D? Irvin, J.R. Smith. These guys are going to have to dig deep and play D, and Mr. Love going to have to move them heavy feet.
Okay, Royce, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. And I'm going to answer it like this, because I'm a somewhat piggyback off of what Messiah just said. But I'm going to go between the ears, because regardless of, you know, what game it is, what the score is, at some point it's going to be the ridiculous shot taken by the Golden State Warriors that is made by the Golden State Warriors that will lead to some run, whether it's 8-0, 12-2, whatever. They'll go on a run with ridiculously made shots that there's probably going to be some type of defense in the area. It may be well guarded. I mean, we saw it in all season long. We saw it in that OKC series. Like you pointed out, OKC got up because they had great length. They forced them into difficult passes. They were able to get some turnovers, get out on the break and things of that nature, blah, blah, blah. Out-rebounded them, kept their turnovers down when they won games. But the problem with every team versus Golden State is that Steph and Klay have the super neon green light to step across the half-court line and be at the jump circle and take 8 to 10 shots a game from that spot if the scoreboard dictates it. And they'll shoot better than 50% from half court. So psychologically, how do you respond to that as a team? How do you not get frustrated? How do you not come unglued and be unraveled? Like, who has ever played a team like that with multiple guys capable of stretching your defense all the way out to half court? I mean, like, the advent of the stretch four is one thing, but this is completely ridiculous when this team could actually play video game basketball for stretches, and it actually works in their favor. So it's not about the physical plays for Cleveland, in my estimation. It's more of mentally and emotionally. How does Cleveland respond when they have to give an account, when they have to give an answer, and actually need to respond to that type of run where somebody is making the ridiculous? How do you answer that? OKC could not figure out how to answer it. We saw it, the body language, the dip in the shoulders, the you know, the attempt to play hero ball. Let's go one-on-one. Let me try to, you know, get 8 points with one shot. It's not going to happen, regardless of what they do on the Golden State side. That's who they are. That's what they do. And Golden State's a front-running kind of team. When they get a lead, especially if they've been trailing, and if they know that they can break you down mentally and emotionally by letting you get a lead, 8, 10, 13, and then they hawk you down with ridiculous made shots, and then they start dancing and shimmying
and the turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, how do you handle that? So that's what I'm interested to see, is where does J.R. Smith go mentally and emotionally? What happens to Schoenberg? What happens to Love? What happens to Kyrie? I'm not worried about LeBron, okay, but everybody else, his supporting cast.
How does LeBron set the tone?
Will
he drive the ball down, they throw to draw fouls early, or will he drive and kick and see what these guys do early? That's why I'm about to jump off here and see this start from the beginning. I think the first 7 minutes will show what LeBron wants to, how he wants to set this tone for game one.
I want to know if J.R. Smith is going to punch Draymond Green.
They're going to try to bait. They're going to try to bait Green to get that flagrant or tech. And he has to know that going in. And who else better to try to start him up? Start him up. J.R. But unfortunately, J.R. starts himself up.
Do you think they pull out somebody from the bench to get Draymond started? Like anybody, any name that is, that Dante?
Yeah, I see James Jones who's going to 6 straight finals on the court early. You already know what it is. We'll call him JoJo English for the rest of the series. If he goes out and pull a JoJo English, you know. By the way, you know it's James Jones who went to 6 straight finals with LeBron. Nobody talked about that.
Right.
When LeBron goes, he just rides.
Right.
Come on, boy. Come on, boy. If you see James Jones checking early, 3 minutes into the first quarter, the fix is in. The fix is in. The fix is in. You see James Jones on the block trying to post Derry Ball Green, the NBA should find him.
So where do you find the favors in these matches, like 1 through 5? Like, okay, so I guess 1 and 2, do we give it straight to Steph and Clay? Or does Kyrie have an edge over Steph in this matchup? Do you think JR can stay consistent in the way that he's been shooting the ball and rocking people to sleep shooting the ball? I mean, he's been doing well in the Eastern Conference, but it's different now up against the Western Conference. But then we got to look at it. I mean, I severely think Golden State's defense has been overrated because they are still last in the league defending the paint. Watching people go to the lane, and that's something Cleveland does specialize in, scoring down there. So, I mean, do we looking at the 1 and 2, giving it straight to Golden State, or do we have a split, or is this an interesting debate? I mean, and is the three situations with everything that happened with Iguodala last year with LeBron? Iguodala got finals MVP, but LeBron was getting 40-point triple-doubles against Iguodala. So that's something that I want to look into, too. Is this, you know, something that we clear-cut give the edge to Golden State in almost every position except the three, or do we have an interesting debate?
There's no debate, in my opinion. The only thing that Cleveland has is LeBron James, really, that you can count on, that you can rely on. I mean, yes, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love have made it to the finals. They're healthy. But it was in the finals when Kyrie went down with that injury last season. So it's until the series is over and win or lose, Kyrie and Kevin Love make it through 4 or 7 games of this season's NBA Finals, they're subject to be hurt at any time. because that's who they have been over the course of their career to this point. They've not really been available when you need them most. Cleveland, LeBron James, they're needed most over these 4 to 7 games. But when you're talking about matchups, the only decided advantage is LeBron James in favor of the Cleveland Cavaliers. The rest of the roster, the rest of the starters, in my opinion, and bench personnel, everything still favors Golden State. And Golden State has a psychological advantage, I think, over this team. I think Cleveland is definitely going to be playing from a position standpoint of, well, we didn't get to play you guys full strength. So you're already approaching a new series, a new season, with the built-in excuse for why you lost last year. I wouldn't even be talking about, you know, well, we weren't healthy. I wouldn't be discussing last season. If I was a Cleveland Cavalier player, LeBron James, everybody down, the minute they started talking about, well, we got the rematch, I would say, no, we don't. It's not about a rematch. It's about the matchup in front of us right now. We're not even thinking about last year. We know that they're the champs. All we're concerned about is dethroning the champ and becoming a new champ. That's it. I mean, it's just all about approach and perspective, and I just think the perspective that they have is that they see Golden State as the team that was better than them, but they're still trying to, like, say it was just last year. No, this team is really good. I think the Golden State Warriors are a better defensive team. I think they're more fluid offensively. It's going, you know, LeBron obviously is going to try to impose his will once again. That's what he did last year. It was the best that he could do, you know, to give that roster a chance given where it was personnel-wise. He has more options, but we've got to see it pan out and work out in his favor. Kevin Love has to make shots. Kyrie has to make shots. J.R. Smith has to make shots. Channing Frye, who, you know, has been the guy coming in making shots recently throughout the Eastern Conference playoff, he has to make shots in the NBA Finals. All that is just basic basketball. We know it has to happen. The team, you know, Cleveland has to score the most points and 4 times to get the 4 before the Warriors. Other than that, if you're just looking at man-for-man matchups and discussing that, I mean, I don't really do that a lot. And if I'm looking at that right now, again, my point is I'm checking so many boxes for Golden State, you would think it was going to be a sweep, but I don't think it's going to be any type of sweep. It's just that on paper, I'm definitely rolling with Golden State on paper, but I understand who LeBron is and what he brings to the table and how he can make everybody better, but each individual to a man must step up and respond and do his part.
What he needs is, because I'm going to jump off here, he needs somebody to step up like Shane Battier did that first time around with the Spurs. In that game 7, you got somebody you're kicking it to going 5 for 5 from 3. Who's going? Irvin needs to play a control style, know when to go one-on-one and when not to, a.k.a. D-Wade. So who's going to be the boss where they defend their position and stretch out the perimeter? That's what we're going to see. That's what we're tuning in for. Masai 2K, I'm out. Keep the grill going.
No doubt, no doubt. Roy, so X factor of the game. So is it Kevin Love? Is it Harrison Barnes? I mean, who do we go to? Is it, I don't know if Bo gonna have a type of start to this series like Mozgov did, and, you know, last year, being somewhat of a heroic form in the paint? I mean, who will be the X factor outside of the notable guys that we know already, you know, bulletin board material-wise?
Well, I'm going to say that the X factor for the first game tonight, let's point the finger at Tristan Thompson. This guy just, you know, he held out, basically. LeBron lobbied for him to get a big payday based on his performance on this stage in the finals last year versus this same team, the Golden State Warriors. He will be in the starting lineup tonight. He was sorely outplayed by Bismack Biyombo for the most part in that Eastern Conference Finals, allowing Biyombo to go for, you know, 20, 26 rebounds and things of that nature. and beat him at his own game. Tristan Thompson has to help this Cavaliers team dominate the glass. LeBron, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson have to do the things that the Oklahoma City bigs, Ibaka, Cantor, and Adams were doing on the offensive glass, as well as the defense. One, you have to, you know, get the shooters. You have to play those passing lanes. You got to contest, make them take difficult shots. Force them to make the miraculous shot, not the comfortable, everyday, run-of-the-mill basketball game shot. Force them into the most difficult shot they can take, and then complete the defensive series with a rebound and get out in transition. Limit Golden State to one and done as often as possible. Control your turnovers. Beat them on the glass. But even if you do all that, you got to be careful because you could still end up saying the same thing Kevin Durant said after game 7. We beat them in every stat that we needed to beat them in to win the game. They just made more threes. That's the trump card that Golden State holds over every team in the league. You're naturally going to assume that they're at some point going to make so many three-pointers, you're not going to be able to keep up. You have to, if you get a lead, you must continue to build the lead, stretch it out, and not look back. You cannot have a 13-point lead or a 20-point lead and take your foot off the gas pedal. You have to push it, push it, push it. It's the only way to kill this team dead, period. These guys will not stop shooting. They will not stop coming for you. They have proven that. So as far as the wild card for the Cavaliers right now, it has to be Tristan Thompson. He has to have a monumental night and make a major impact on the boards.
Okay. Now, looking outside of, you know, the bigs and the paint, I want to look at the backcourt and how Golden State will try to hide stuff. But Cleveland has a backcourt where he can't hide. He has to get exposed. He's going to have to either be J.R. Smith or Kyrie, which one does he end up defending?
Well, trying to read Kerr's mind, I mean, look, it's going to depend. I think he's going to spend some time dealing with Kyrie. He's going to spend some time dealing with JR. If I'm Kerr, I'll probably put Clay on Kyrie Irving to start out, period. That's the way I would play it. I would think if – I don't really want to say hiding Steph. I mean, especially when you just came off a series where you had to deal with, you know, Russell Westbrook your fair share of times for 7 games. And J.R. Smith is no Russell Westbrook. Kyrie Irving is no Russell Westbrook. I mean, they're both good at what they do. But J.R. is obviously super inconsistent. He's pretty much been asked to catch and shoot. So, I mean, that's where I would have Steph Curry. And that's a problem for the Golden State Warriors. If Steph Curry doesn't have to really defend anybody who's attacking and being aggressive, making him work on the defensive end, that's going to be a problem. Because we know he's a 2-time league MVP. He's uber confident. And if I'm Kerr, like I said, I'm not hiding anybody. They're not running and hiding. I mean, look at what they just did. Look where they just come from. Look at the season. You know, in totality, this team is not hiding from anyone. They do not approach any game, any series, any team like that team is a problem they can't solve. That is not the Golden State Warriors. So, again, the commentary or the script is laid out right. It's about what will Cleveland do in the chess game versus the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors are going to be themselves. Their best chance at taking an L in their minds right now, they just escaped. They just got by that. They're looking at Cleveland like barbecue chicken. Like, we know these guys. They're not fazed by the fact that Kyrie and Kevin Love are present. Didn't they thrash that unit in the regular season and Blatt was fired? few days later. This Golden State team, it has no fear. I'm not going to say they don't respect them, but they're not intimidated. They are not moved. They're going to play, you know, the PC route and keep it politically correct when discussing this team. But that's not how they feel. I'm sure they feel like, hey, we got two rings coming to us because they cannot deal with what we bring to the table. And all they have to worry about is LeBron James in their mind.
Okay, well, we are nearing the end of the show. I'm actually going to tweak this a little bit, right? So I need your plug, close out, shout out, whatever you like to promote, so on and so forth. But I want you to do this. Which forward has a bigger game, Draymond Green or Kevin Love?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at I am Royce King. As we close out, I'm simply just going to say Draymond Green, because he understands what he has to do, who he has to be for his team. It's not going to be about his box score numbers. That's not how I'm making my decision. It's not about the box score. It's just about his presence. It's about what he does. It's what about, you know, his energy, what he brings to the table, and when he makes the impactful play, the game winning type of play that does what needs to be done for the Golden State Warriors at that particular space in the game. Kevin Love is not that type of player. A lot of his impact definitely comes from the rebounds, but more importantly for the Warriors, when he's making his outside shot and they don't really run enough plays for him in the post. So if they're not going to really focus on getting everybody off, maybe this might be one of those games where we'll look up tomorrow morning or following this game and look at the box score, and we might see, you know, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron James, both all three guys, you know, with 20-plus points. If it's not game one, at some point, the big three will try to be the big three of Golden State, that being Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. I'm sure we're going to get one of those games just for the sake of conversation. So, yeah, that's my pick. It's been a blast. Let's check this game out.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs. The chefs will be back here tomorrow with the roundtable, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard. I'm going to go with State Farm and dropping dimes. Kevin, where do you get all them dimes from? I'm going with Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love will have the impact of this game. I think Cleveland stretching the floor actually put Golden State in unfamiliar waters where they have to defend all five players. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, now they know.
New York, Jersey, Philly, Baltimore, D.C., Virginia, Atlanta, everybody rock!
Every day comes from a place where your man just stabbed you in the back and
all them type of niggas off the face of the earth, and do away with all them niggas before I get to them first. So slow, but niggas gon' get it and run right through it. Get with it to all of my niggas who know how to do it. Survival of the most, fit for real niggas, no doubt. Get what's yours from out this fucker for your time run out. Get what's yours from out this fucker for your time run out. And get what's yours from out this fucker for your time run out. Welcome all you motherfuckers.